talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right. We always talk about a lot of things. We talk about the lead stories. We talk about the hot topics. We like to keep it going on the show, too, if you want to get involved, things like that, which I think we're unique at. Do very, very, very good. But a lot of times, there's some negative to that, just like anything else. The negative is that we don't get to some of the other stories, the fringe stories. So we reserve this moment right now, 2 o'clock on Wednesdays, to discuss in case we missed it.
What's in the news today?
With so many stories.
Dozens of stories.
We're bound to miss a few.
I'm sorry, did I miss something?
It's in case we missed it with the Killer Bees.
And here's the stuff you missed.
This is one of the my favorite stories that there is the whole Liv Goff that's going on right now. I have no idea how that happened. I didn't open it.
You sure you're not watching college baseball on your phone with the volume up?
It was something on Twitter. I don't know how that started playing. But anyways, one of the most fascinating stories to me, but because we care about the listeners, I think it's one of the most fascinating stories for you too. But because we care about the listeners, we haven't been shoving it down your throat.
Whoa.
The Liv Goff. So the Liv Goff tour right now, yeah. Stealing all these players. Brooks Koepka's the latest, throwing out heavy money. $200 million for Phil Mickelson. Good luck getting that back. $150 million for Dustin Johnson. Who knows all the other money thrown around for Koepka. Tiger Woods got offered close to $1 billion to play on this thing as well. And we found out Koepka's going. But other news today, the Open Championship says that they're going to allow the Liv Goffers to play in the British Open.
I would say it's interesting to me because I was talking to Sean Respert, my good friend, this morning.
Is he on the Live Tour?
No, because we were comparing the Live Tour to getting paid to play overseas. And Matt Bullard used to tell me stories, too. Like, they would agree to a deal with you for, you know, this really great salary. But the minute you didn't start playing the way you played when they signed you, suddenly the checks weren't coming around. And when you tried to push back and see, well, where's my check? Then it got even more difficult for you to get paid.
Yeah.
And if they were paying for your car or your rent, suddenly the rent wasn't getting paid or whatever. And then the whole premise was just get them to want to go back home to the United States and just say screw it, and they're never going to get the money back. So you better make sure you either get it up front or have some kind of guarantees you're going to get it, because there's no guarantees that this league doesn't fold up. But if you're the British Open, you say, I want the best players in the world regardless, and I'm not controlled by the PGA, so why wouldn't I have the top 50 or however many golfers I need to play my tournament this year while everybody else sorts out the differences between the PGA and the Live Tour?
I don't think that there's any fear that the Saudi government would not pay these golfers. And I think a lot of it has been up front. And there's been, like, it's called sports washing, where the Saudi government, the extension of the Saudi government with all the sports they've brought in there, they've brought in tons of sports. They've brought in WWE. They pay huge amounts of money to all of these people. So the money's good, and the money's very high, and they're basically printing money because they have tons of money. Mm-hmm. So, look, it's the old adage, right? Like, the players and the athletes are going to go to wherever pays them the most. For the most part, you have the John Rahms and the Rorys that say, look, I already have plenty of money. It's not going to change the way I live. I want to compete for the major titles and all of that. As far as it relates to the majors going forward, I'm with you. Like, I don't think that the Masters is going to tell all of the Liv golfers, oh, no, Brooks Koepka, you can't come. Dustin Johnson, you can't come. I think that they will. I think the U.S. Open, I think the British Open will long term. I think the Liv Tour can actually really work. And I think that they could use the team model about, like, the F1, the way that they do it.
Well, you,
like,
saw the emergency Ferrari meeting that the PGA Tour had where they're actually reactionary, which I don't think they should be at this point, because I don't know if they have longevity yet. But I would wait to see what actually happens and how long they can sustain this and kicking out these big dollars before they knee-jerk reaction. Because now to have this top 50 event and to have $20 million on the line and all these other things, you're reacting to a league that might not be around in a year or two, but now you can't go back on it once you commit to it.
I don't know if it's going away. I think it has a chance to completely change the game of golf. Adam Schefter was on with our guys, the bench, earlier. John Granato, the Godfather, Lance Zierlein, the King, talking about Lamar Jackson should cash in right now.
You know, to me, Lamar Jackson has to do a deal. He just has to. Now, it's worked out well for him in waiting, and we've seen deals get done over the last year for Josh Allen and Matthew Stafford and some of these deals and numbers. Kirk Cousins have grown incredibly. So honestly, he made a wise business decision in waiting, but he also went through the year and didn't suffer any catastrophic injuries, so good for him. But at some point, to me, you cash out. And to me, this would be the time for Lamar Jackson to cash out.
That was Adam Schefter on with the Bench Granato and Lance, full interview, ESPN97.5.com. I disagree here with Adam Schefter. I don't think that Lamar Jackson's ever not going to get paid. I think, in fact, if he waits and tests free agency, just like a Scott Boras client would, that you can maximize the amount of money that you make. Lamar Jackson playing on the fifth-year option this season. He's going to get franchise tag, which is an astronomical amount of money for 1 year. He's probably going to get tagged to second year, which is even more money that second season. Kirk Cousins, whenever he was a free agent on the open market, was made more guaranteed money than any player in history. Kirk Cousins. If Lamar Jackson gets to free agency, he would make more than anybody else.
Here's why. There's a couple of signs that tells me, no matter what you just said, that it's in his best interest because of his own personal feelings and otherwise, that he's going to stay where he's at and he's going to get it done before the season starts.
Probably.
He showed up for minicamp, right? In mandatory minicamp. If you're truly going to make a statement and hold out, or you truly want to get to free agency, you don't show up for minicamp. You basically are you're drawing your line in the sand and saying, look, take care of me. He also, when asked if he could see playing the rest of his career in Baltimore, he basically was in agreement that he could. And also because of the injury factor. You can bet on yourself, but if you bet on yourself with 1 year left on your deal and no guarantees after that and you get hurt, suddenly that max deal becomes minimized by a possibly a great deal.
See, that's where we disagree. I don't think it would. If Lamar Jackson tore his ACL in week 18 of his last game as a Baltimore Raven and he still entered free agency, I think his team's still going to give him top dollar, just like the Nets gave top dollar to Kevin Durant and just like Cleveland gave Deshaun Watson the most guaranteed money of any quarterback in NFL history, despite all of the controversy surrounding him.
And I know that there was controversy and there was
But you've talked a lot too about how much time is being away is almost like he was hurt.
But I'm saying, but not as much in the fact that we're not talking about a significant medical procedure that might...
Yeah, his leg's not falling off.
Right, it's not like an ACL or an Achilles tendon or, you know, some of these... Like, even what God forbid if it was an Alex Smith-type injury, right? Where, you know what, all of a sudden you were at the top of your game, wherever that sits in the NFL quarterback hierarchy, but suddenly, because you suffer a catastrophic injury, now suddenly your payday is minimized by quite a bit, and I don't think, at his age and with all that he has to gain, that you should be willing to take that risk.
Think about if you're the Cleveland Browns in this situation where they currently are, though. Like, they just went, you know, King's ransom for Deshaun Watson. The draft picks, the money, taking on the uncertainty of what was all the civil cases still going on. If you're that desperate for quarterback, and Lamar Jackson's out there and he can play in 6-7 months, I think you'd be willing to give him that money. People texting in Dak Prescott as an example, too.
Yeah, Dak Prescott's injury would be exactly what I'm talking about. But
he got paid.
And he did get paid, right? Yeah. I get it. But I think that from a Baltimore perspective, too, what other option do you have? I think that they're going to be more likely than not to try and push the envelope forward, too, to make sure they take care of him, get it done.
I think Lamar wants more than Deshaun's 230 guaranteed. And I think Baltimore's ultimately going to have to do it. Moving on to the next topic. Regional Sports Network in Detroit, this caught Brendan's attention.
Armpit.
They're offering a streaming service for their sports teams for $20 a month. So it's Pistons, Red Wings, Tigers.
Correct.
All on the Regional Sports Network. So it's a la carte, Netflix type of model. $20 a month, you get all of that. Would you pay $20 for AT&T Sportsnet? Would you pay $20 for the a la carte? Don't have to worry about the service provider. You can just do it right off your smart TV.
I lived this personally, and it was painful because at the time when we started the network with the Astros, which had many different names, Comcast Sportsnet, we believed that $1.99 a month no one was going to have a problem with, and we were going to get coverage across the city. And when even that, the minimal charge of $1.99 to $5 a month, we found out how many people were not having it, were used to getting it for free, and were not going to pay it. And we lost 40% of the market in a lot of reasons. That are significant, starting with that kind of fee. $20 in a blue collar place like Detroit. I know they're a big sports town. I get it. You get all the sports, I think people are going to have some pushback on that because they're on a budget.
Well, they already have it on, you know, their DirecTVs, their cables or whatever. This is for the cord cutters. This is for the people that don't have cable. They're just looking for a way to watch Detroit games, and they're paying $20 a month a la carte. So it's for the consumer.
So they just get the game. That's it.
Yeah, they get the games.
What about the shoulder programming and all that?
They probably get the whole channel. But you don't have to worry about having DirecTV. You don't have to worry about having Suddenlink. You don't have to worry, whatever they are. Like, I have Hulu. I've cut the cord as well. So would you pay $20 a month to watch your Rockets and Astros, don't have to worry about the provider, which is a 20% discount of the yearly purchase? If you were a consumer, would you do that?
I think I'd have to.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think I'd have to simply because of the fact that you know me and my viewing habits, that just is too big of a percentage of what I watch on a nightly basis.
Yeah, I would, I'd be all over this. Curious Houston's opinion, 713-780-3776. All right, ticket stub from Michael Jordan's North Carolina debut is headed to auction. You're more of a memorabilia guy than I am. How much are we looking at here for this ticket stub for
MJ's
UNC debut?
I'm not as big on this as maybe other people would be. I don't think it's that.
It's torn.
It had to be to get in the game.
Back in the day.
Yeah, I don't think I'd have as big of a dollar sign as they're guesstimating it's going to bring. But $1 million?
A million for this?
No, I'm not. Not for me personally. I'm saying that's what I think they think it's going to go for. Because they think it's the only one in existence. Because
what?
Yeah, they think in an era where tickets were torn, like you were saying,
everybody threw
it away. They think this might be the only one in existence. They're guessing it might bring up to a mil. You better have a whole lot of discretionary bank account money to give $1 million for a ticket stub, especially if it's not signed. I'm not giving you any. It's a nice little discussion piece on my wall. But I'm not paying big dollar for it.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. I didn't realize that there was only a few of them left. I was cleaning out my office yesterday, getting ready for the baby, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Found a lot of things that you'll be seeing soon.
Why am I going to be seeing them?
You'll see. 713-780-ESPN. What is the what's your favorite piece of memorabilia? I'm curious that. 713-780-3776. I know yours. You have a lot. Yeah, you have quite a bit.
But what's my favorite?
I think it's the Rodgers driver.
No.
It's not. What's your favorite?
No, I've got a black and white picture from the 50s, an all-star game in the 50s.
I wasn't alive then.
Signed by, no, I wasn't either, but I got it. It was given to me, signed by DiMaggio, Ted Williams, and Mickey Mantle.
Ted Williams, third best offensive player in Major League Baseball history. All right, coming up next, if you were allowed to change one draft pick in Houston sports history, what it would be? You can go any sport. You can go any year. If you could redo, you can go Dynamo if you'd like. Yeah, you could go that way if that's your choosing. You can pick one draft pick to redo in Houston sports history. What is that pick? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We discuss on the other side. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, you get one redo, because this is the NBA draft's coming up tomorrow. Rockets have three first-rounders. What? Why'd you look at me like that? Oh, yeah, you get one redo in Houston sports history. One redo in Houston sports history of any draft. It could be basketball. It could be football. It could be baseball. It could be soccer for Blankers. He might go that route. But one redo in Houston sports history, what would that redo pick, or what would it be? Would it be this one right here, Brendan Riley?
The Houston Rockets, who are represented here by owner Charlie Thomas and his daughter Tracy, select Michael Jordan, University of North Carolina.
Would that be your redo? Michael Jordan? Because look, Rockets, Astros,
that was the Elijah
Texans,
one draft.
They've all passed up on greats. The greatest of all time that any Houston sports team has ever passed up, probably Michael Jordan. Would that be your one redo in Houston sports history?
No. No, because you still got a great one. You still got an all-time great one that did great things for this city. And as much as I love and put Jordan on the highest mountaintop of any NBA player, I'm not giving back Hakeem Olajuwon. I'm just not. I'll tell you what, though, and you know what? This is a completely organic thing because I really didn't have time to think about this and think of which one. But I can tell you, similarly to that, I would not say that one. I would say the biggest, because, you know, the ones that were going through my mind were the year that they took Mirsad Turkshan and Bryce Drew,
yep,
and guys like that that were never amounted to a hill of beans, or Royce White and some of those guys. I'll tell you the one that would have been a game changer for the Houston Rockets, and you know because of my background, I'm sticking with basketball, and I'm going to change that draft. I'm going to take Clyde Drexler instead of Rodney McRae.
Okay.
You had the chance to take Clyde Drexler, and instead you took Rodney McRae.
83 draft.
And if you don't take Rodney McRae and you take Clyde well before his prime, and now you let those two guys develop together, you might have as many championships as Michael Jordan had when all was said and done.
That's going to be a very popular answer.
Is it?
I believe so. Yeah, because that's one that I would hear a lot growing up, is that the Rockets screwed up taking Rodney McRae at number 3 instead of taking Clyde Drexler. Actually slid all the way down to 14. Back in the 1983 draft. So I think that one would be one that's actually pretty popular. 713-780-3776. One redo in Houston sports history. You can redo any draft pick in Houston sports history. I have a really good one that might be outside of the box. As far as the Olajuwon Jordan conversation, like during the break, 2370 texted in and said, "Screw Jordan, Dream was the man. I'm riding or dying with Hakeem Olajuwon." Yeah. He brought 2 titles to the city. I think he's one of the greatest centers of all time. I'm not redoing the Hakeem Olajuwon, picking him number 1 in 84 over Sam Bowie, who actually went number 2, and then Michael Jordan at number 3. I'm sticking with Hakeem Olajuwon there. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Travis, what's your call here? What you got?
Hey, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
What's up, man?
I would go back. There's no doubt in my mind that I believe that David Carr would not have been a top 5 pick if it wasn't for Bob McNair. I think he was a family man. He saw Derek Carr as as a family man, being married in college. I think he had a kid at the time too, so he wanted somebody that was a ambassador for the new franchise. I really think they could have traded that number 1 pick, got a few extra picks, and then maybe even picked up, like if they would have traded with the 5th or 6th person, they could have got David Carr at that time and then got more players. I really think that the Texans ruined David Carr's career. So whether it was get somebody different or trade back in that draft.
So Travis going with David Carr, Derek Carr's brother. I think that's going to be a pretty popular one as well. First draft pick in Houston Texans history. I was clamoring because, look, you're not going to have a rookie quarterback and then put him behind an expansion offensive line and expect him to have success. I thought it was malicious. The Houston Texans, to be quite honest with you, I wanted the Texans to go Julius Peppers over David Carr. And Julius Peppers had by far a better career than David Carr did.
That's a good call.
Green on Twitter saying no Tony Boselli in the expansion draft. Which Tony Boselli was not a great expansion pick because he never played for the Houston Texans. But there's not a lot of good players in the expansion draft.
The expansion draft was the expansion draft. I don't think you were going to get some franchise changer in exchange for Tony Boselli. Someone said, instead of taking Phil Nevin, take Derek Jeter.
That's one I've heard in the past
as
well.
That's a good one.
That's one I've heard in the past as well. So mine's actually in baseball. But if I can redo any pick in Houston sports history, like I want to also be able to, like, be able to enjoy that right now, right? Like, you could go back and, you know, take Drexler over Rodney McRae, and it would have changed the landscape of Houston sports history, but it really wouldn't change this moment, right? It wouldn't change this right now. Mine's going to change this moment. Mine would change this right now. And I go back to the 2009 Major League Baseball draft when the Houston Astros, at pick number 21, drafted Giovanni Meyer back out of Bonita High School in California. 4 picks later, the Los Angeles Angels select
Mike Trout. Wow, that's a good one.
See, baseball is a crapshoot. Like, baseball draft is hard, and he was a high schooler. You don't know if he's going to sign to play college. He actually signed to East Carolina if he didn't sign with the Angels, which is kind of fascinating. But imagine, instead of Meyer at 21, you have Mike Trout playing for the Houston Astros. Because now you're talking, because like Jordan, we're talking about all-time great, right? But you're not giving up an all-time great for another all-time great. We're talking about a dude who never, ever played in Major League Baseball for the best baseball player of our generation. That is my one redo in Houston sports history. What's yours? 713-780.
Ocho's got a good one.
3776. What does he have?
Kawhi Leonard instead of Marcus Morris for the Rockets in 11.
See, that's a big one. 2370 said that one as well. So that was an interesting one, too, because you were looking for a wing. Like, you were looking for a 3. Kawhi Leonard would have been able to fit that mold perfectly. 0997. Here's one for you. This would have changed Blanker's life. Aaron Rodgers instead of Travis Johnson in 2005.
Who changed it in a lot of ways.
Man. Double entendre.
Yeah. That would have been a game changer.
We love Trap, but Aaron Rodgers has had a better career than Travis Johnson.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Look, and you know, that was a lead balloon the way Aaron Rodgers slid. And, you know, and Trapp also, it might have been a game changer for Trapp because we've highlighted several times how he said if the Texans didn't take him and he went to a team that played a system that fit his skill sets better, that he might have been a better player too.
Somebody's saying the Astros drafting Chris Bryant instead of Mark Appel. If I remember correctly, though, that was the year that Mark Appel did not sign because the Astros drafted Mark Appel twice.
Yep.
They drafted him the first time. I can't remember. I'm trying to look this up real quick. But I believe that they drafted – it was 2000 – oh, I can't remember. But because they didn't sign Appel, they got a compensation pick that turned out to be pretty good, though. Because, like, if you don't –
they did. I forget who it was, too, but it was definitely someone significant. Was it to get – it wasn't to get Bregman, but it was someone significant, I believe.
I think it was Bregman.
Was it?
Yeah, because the Astros drafted Appel with the number one pick of the 2013 draft. And I don't think that – he must have signed. I can't remember. I can't remember the story.
Someone will get it for
Brady Aiken was one who got drafted number one by the Astros, did not sign, and then he was what turned into Alex Bregman. So that one worked
all
right.
Then they refused to sign him. There were issues.
He had elbow issues. And then they were trying to lowball him. His agent didn't like that, so he never signed. And then the Astros got the compensation pick and ended up going with Alex Bregman the very next year. Derek Jeter over Phil Nevin, 9502. 3501 saying, your boy Barry Warner said that there was a way the Rockets could have had Jordan, Akeem, and Drexler. He said back in the day, and that was a serious debate, but the Rockets couldn't see how Drexler and Jordan would work together. I know this story. They would have drafted Drexler instead of Rodney McRae in 83 with the number three pick. They would have drafted Akeem Olajuwon at number one, and then Portland, who needed a big man, and they drafted Sam Bowie, shows you that. They could have traded Ralph Sampson to Portland for number two, and then you would have drafted Michael Jordan there. Could have paired Michael Jordan and Akeem Olajuwon. What's the one draft pick in Houston sports history that you would change? 713-780-3776. 1585 says Vince Young instead of Mario Williams.
I don't know how much of a game changer that would have been. Mario Williams had a good career here, and after one good year for Vince Young, he basically fell off the planet.
Yeah. See, Mario had a better career than Vince Young.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Vince Young would have – I don't know. I don't know about Vince Young and his career.
Maybe playing at home in a different atmosphere would have changed him. I don't think so.
I think that would have been negative, actually. I think that would have been a
bad
thing.
More tickets, more distractions,
I don't think that would have been good. I don't think that would have been good. Lamont saying Dez Bryant instead of Kareem Jackson, Jonathan Taylor instead of Blaylock. That's a really good recent one, going Blaylock over Jonathan Taylor.
What was the other one that I always say? Clinton Portis instead of Jabbar Gaffney.
Yeah, that was early on. And then Lamont asking, didn't the Astros have Curt Schilling at some point? They did. They had him. I don't think he never played in a big league game for the Astros, I don't believe, but they had him very early on, pretty close to his rookie year. In Major League Baseball. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. You get one draft redo in Houston sports history. What is it? I like a good drink at the end of the day. Vodka, gin, bourbon. Look, they're all part of the rotation for me. You know that. And a local Texas brand, Gentle Bend Spirits, does it all and does it better than anyone else. Gentle Bend, a line of ultra-premium Texas spirits. They use their state-of-the-art innovative Percedo craft technology that's better in purity, it's better in aroma, and it's better in taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Gentle Bend is unrivaled. Look, I know you have your favorite brand that you like at the end of the night or the end of the week, but trust me now and thank me later. Take the challenge I did. Try a sip of Gentle Bend and compare it to your brand. You're going to taste the huge difference that I did when Ricky Ford, owner of Gentle Bend Spirits, A&M Class of 85, had me out to his tasting room in Alvin to see what I thought. And ever since then, I've been a Gentle Bend man. You can find Gentle Bend Vodka and Gin at Total Wine and Specs. Also online, gentlebend.com. Also, head over to that tasting room in Alvin. Try their bourbon. It's fantastic. 94-proof bourbon that was the winner of the double platinum at the Ascot Awards this year. That's exclusive. You can only find it in the tasting room in Alvin. Also, extra special Gentle Bend tasting coming up next week at the Total Wine in Pearland. If you're in the Pearland area, head to Total Wine for the extra special Gentle Bend tasting. You can, it's the Meet the Maker event. The one and only Ricky Ford, Gentle Bend president. He'll be on hand talking the smooth spirits of Gentle Bend and sampling their uniquely approachable gin and vodka. That's June 30th, 4 to 7 o'clock, Total Wine in Pearland. Go try some Gentle Bend and meet Ricky Ford. Gentle Bend, the union of tradition and invention.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We're talking about the one Houston sports redo draft history that you could make. What would it be? A lot of people were saying Kawhi Leonard over Morris, one of the Morris wins. That was one Marcus. That sticks out over Marcus Morris. I mean, either one, Marcus, Markieff, what's the difference? Am I right?
Well.
Either way,
not
Kawhi,
tattoos, that's for sure.
Kawhi Leonard is a popular answer. Big C called in and told us was a random second baseman over Chris Sale. And look, I went baseball too. I went Meyer. Whenever they drafted Meyer, they could have had Mike Trout. Baseball is kind of cheating in this competition, if we're being honest, because how many times does a baseball player like go from being a 20th round draft pick to being an all-star? Pretty often. Roy Oswalt was like a 20-something pick. Mike Piazza was drafted as a favor from Tommy Lasorda to somebody that he knew. So baseball is like you can find a lot of those in baseball, which certainly is – look, I went baseball too, but I do think it is a cheat code.
No, look –
Marcus Peters instead of Kevin Johnson's a good one relative to the position, too.
And the thing is, when we start talking about drafts, basketball was the one that was almost the most guaranteed. Like, if you had a lottery pick and you had a top five pick, unless you were the Pistons and knew how to screw it up with a foreign guy that wasn't in the realm of possibilities in Darko Milicic, forever and a day, if you had a top four, top five pick, you were going to get a franchise-changing player. But now, because of the one-and-dones and because of the way that they've changed the eligibility for the draft, it's a crapshoot based on potential, and it's more of a hit and miss, like baseball. Football, a little bit, probably is the most of all the sports, probably the most to getting, if you in the first round, getting a guy that's going to be a starter and probably a really good player. Though you can still swing and miss. I mean, the one that there's plenty that you can reference, but like an Andre Dillard, who coming out was supposed to be the best offensive lineman on the board, and then people were mad when the Texans didn't take him or trade up to get him and took Tytus Howard instead. And Andre Dillard in a year's time was basically just, you know, not worth the money that he signed, the paper he signed the contract on. Oh. So, I mean, I think they're all a crapshoot, but it is, to me, it's funny how basketball's changed the most from almost a guarantee to basically a flip of a coin.
The one of them, another Chris Middleton for Royce White is one that comes to mind.
I brought up the Royce White draft.
Aside from the Kawhi Leonard for the Morris twin. The one basketball one that comes to my mind was actually one that I thought you were going down that path, because you talk about the year that they had three first rounders, yeah. The Rockets. Mm-hmm. Whenever, like, you could go any one of them. The kid from Turkey, what was his name?
Mirsad Turkson.
Turkson from Turkey. And then Bryce Drew, he was picked right there as well. And I can't remember the other one.
Well, Richard Jefferson was a guy that we thought they were going to take.
But who were the three that they took? Drew, the kid from Turkey, and somebody else.
Michael Dickerson.
And the one that I would point back to from that draft that I wanted was Rashard Lewis, high school kid out
local
of Houston.
Kid. I can tell you why they didn't take him. They met with him and his parents before the draft because he was the local kid. And the belief in the building was that the dad was going to be there every day and that the parents were going to be so meddling that they didn't want the distraction and the daily grind of it. And that's why they passed on him.
Yeah, it makes sense. Rockets had three first rounders that year. Passed on Rashard Lewis.
They did.
You know how many first rounders the Rockets have this year?
Three.
They have three. Pick number three, pick number 17, pick number 26. Jay Billis was on the Wheelhouse yesterday, full interview, ESPN975.com. Great interview with Billis and the guys. We're going to look at Chet Holmgren. Every day this week, heading into the draft, we're looking at a possibility for the Rockets at number three. Seems like Banchero is going to be there, but maybe we see a curveball and we see Jabari go one, Banchero go two, or vice versa. Maybe Chet Holmgren is there on the board at number three. Jay Billis talking about Chet to the guys yesterday.
Well, it's probably, and I don't say this lightly, it's probably like the projection for Giannis, because that's what Chet Holmgren is. He's like a baby Giannis. And, you know, for my old school Neanderthal brain, the thing I've had to get over is his body. You know, his body reminds me of Sean Bradley when he came out of BYU. It doesn't look like an NBA body, but it is. He is tough and competitive, but he's got Giannis-like skills. You know, he shoots 40% from three. He can grab a rebound and bring it up, and not only like a guard, he basically is a 7-foot guard and handles the ball extraordinarily well and can get ahead of steam and then spin and finish with his right or his left hand, dunking it, and he blocks a ton of shots. And, you know, the easy thing to say is, yeah, he played at Gonzaga in the West Coast Conference and all that, but he played really well in the biggest games of the year. Whether it's USA basketball, you talk to any of his USA basketball teammates, and they'll tell you what people have seen of him is not the best he has. Like, he's better than he showed at Gonzaga.
So that was Jay Billis talking about Chet Holmgren. I disagree with a lot of what Jay Billis had to say there. I don't think the Greek Freak's a good comparison other than how tall they are. And I know that Giannis was very skinny coming into the NBA draft as well. And I think there are some similarities. Giannis's body coming into the NBA draft, Chet's mm-hmm. body coming into the NBA draft, both very tall, both very lean. But I don't see the athleticism in Chet that Giannis had coming into the league. I think he's better. I think he's more polished, like with a shot, things like that.
Better shooter for sure. Chet is.
Oh yeah, he's probably a better shooter right now than Giannis is, but nowhere near the athleticism.
If I can sum this up for both of us the best way I can, from a polished fundamental skill set standpoint, Chet is better off. From an athleticism and strength standpoint, Giannis is by far, even when he came out, was more advanced than what Chet is because of the fluidity and the athleticism. And you could see he had the strength, though he wasn't muscular. He was still strong enough to where I believe that that's not what Chet is. And so the one thing that I'm going to just tell you guys as we get ready for this draft, the Rockets there is a scenario where they're going to have to consider drafting Ivy or trading down, because what Mario said yesterday and what my sources have told me that I've discussed with you guys privately is there's something going on with Chet's medicals. There's a reason why he's not putting his medicals out there, and there's some things that are throwing up some red flags with some teams. If the Rockets somehow get a curveball and Banchero goes before them, I think they got some real hard choice to make, because they've got to weigh that with what they truly need, which is a four, because they traded away their starting four. But they also have to kind of also try to analyze how do the other two picks play into that too, so that we can still get what we need, because they might have to go to plan B.
I like Chet a lot more than you do. The health issue, like, it's hard to speculate on that, but I mean, you can Google it, and there's some stories coming out with Chet Holmgren that he hasn't given his medicals to teams, and he hasn't taken some of the evaluation and some of the examinations that other prospects have with teams. As far as it goes for basketball, mm-hmm. I like the upside of Chet Holmgren. He'd be number three on my big board of mm-hmm. this draft. He'd be Jabari one, Paulo two, and Chet number three. But there's no way I'm drafting Jaden Ivey over Chet unless I just don't think his medicals are very good, and I don't trust his medicals. But as far as he is as a basketball player, I see a path to Chet Holmgren being very good in the NBA. His shot plays in the NBA, especially with his length. I think he could play the five in the NBA. Now, defensively, he would get beat up early in his career. He is a good shot blocker because he is very long. I don't think that he's a great rebounder, though, unless he's coming right at him, because he's not that great
laterally.
He's very
Christian Woodish on the defensive end. He can block shots and protect the rim a little bit.
His lateral movement's not good.
And he can't guard the post because he just doesn't have enough sand in his shorts.
The pushback that I would have regarding the post is that, like, okay, you're going to get pushed back, but at least you have the length to contest a shot.
But you can get in foul trouble.
You can get in foul trouble. Also, that I don't think there's a lot of great post players anymore in the NBA. Like, there's certain games where, yeah, he's going to get abused, and, Jokic is going to drop 30 on him, and Embiid's going to drop 40 on him. But there's not, a lot of Jokic's and a lot of Embiid's around the league. I don't really view him as a Giannis, have the ball on the perimeter, beat dudes off the dribble, beat dudes to the rim. To me, he's going to be more of give him the ball in the post and let him rise and fire. Let him catch and shoot. I don't think he's ever going to be great off the dribble.
It's what I brought up with Mario yesterday. I don't, with all the skills that he brings to the table fundamentally with his shooting and his ball handling, you got to be able to get by somebody. And I think that, especially because he's so tall, he's limited to be able to get by somebody. So you got to be able to shoot over someone to get your shot. Now, you're going to be taller than most, but can you consistently do that when you're being contested? I'll give you...
Dirk, I think, would be like a better comp than
that's where I started. Remember that? Because when I was trying to find the high side comp, I'm going to give you two comps that I got from a few people that are in the NBA, and I'm going to see what you think. High side, Porzingis. Low side, Lauri Markkanen.
Oof. That's not somebody I want at number three.
See, that's exactly what really has my mind.
Like, that's somebody who can play in the NBA for a while, but it's not number three.
Like, coming out, Lauri Markkanen was supposed to be really, really, really good.
Yeah.
And we found out he's okay.
Like, if he's Porzingis but stays healthy, that's a little bit different.
If he could put weight on and be Porzingis, that's also a little... I think he's more fluid with his fundamentals, with his shot and things than Porzingis. But I got to know if he's going to be able to get stronger and bigger.
See, I think he's more of a post player than he is a face-up player. And he didn't show much post-up game at Gonzaga because they had Drew Timmy, and he was more of a face-up guy. And he's more of a post-up than a face-up. So he's got a long way to go to become a post-up player. He's got a lot of work to do. The only time that I've seen him get to his own shot, and I've watched quite a bit of Chet because I'm intrigued by Chet Holmgren, is like he can dribble all right for his size. Like Billis called him a good dribbler. Like, I don't think he's a great ball handler. I think he's a good ball handler for a 7-footer. Is he a good ball handler relative to the NBA? No, not
really.
He's
a Draymond in transition if he gets a rebound. He can bring it up the court for you.
Yeah.
But if you got someone on your hip, it's a different story with his ball handler.
He's not going to cross somebody up and rise and fire.
Right.
The only time that I've seen him on the perimeter like get to his shot is usually like a couple of dribbles, spin move, use his size to get over the defender. Like,
see, and the other thing is when we're talking about defensive, it depends on where he lines up in the lineup. If he's matched up on the wing and he's got a guard on the perimeter,
can't do it.
I think he is in quicksand.
I think he's got a better chance to be a post defender than he does out on the perimeter, which I don't think he's going to be a great post defender. He's going to block shots, but I think he's going to get beat up. That said, I would be so intrigued watching the development of Chet Holmgren with the Rockets.
Aren't you fearful that he'd be even behind the development of Green and the young kids you already got?
Sure, he's got a lot of work.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of work. Now, I think he'd be an okay player right away, but to be a great player, it's probably like 5 years away. But I do think he could potentially be that player, and I would be all in on watching the Rockets every night, really with any three of these guys, but the intrigue level for Chet Holmgren would also be there. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. But definitely not a baby Giannis, like Jay Billis had to say. All right, coming up next, should the Rockets continue to embrace the suck after this draft? And also, all right, you get one all-time Houston draft redo. What would it be? We ask a Will House, man, when we come back. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It's Luis García Day. You know what that music means.
I feel like he's going to deal. He'd give you a solid at least 5 innings.
Game time coming up a little after the top of the hour. Wink, wink.
Did you break another mic stand, BK?
Broken before I got in.
Was it?
Brad Kellner joining us on the Killer Bees. You can listen to him each and every day on the Wheelhouse from 3 to 7. We were talking about...
BK needs a little Apollo Men's Health.
Your microphone stands a little limp
drooping.
There.
Yeah.
Flopping around a little bit. I feel like I'm too young for this.
Limp biscuit, so to speak, Fred Durst.
Yeah, it's not a great situation. How do y'all do this on the Wheelhouse? Oh, I guess you just pull that mic over?
Yes.
It's great radio here. We were talking about one Houston sports redo. You don't think to mute the mic before you do that?
No. Look, I'm helping the helper. It doesn't matter how I get the job done. Cody, it's a hockey assist.
Stoots is casting a shadow over Brendan.
He's waiting to pounce on you for something.
That's like I guess. Anyways, Giannis, we were talking about one Houston sports redo in Houston sports history. You brought up Giannis and were thinking if the Rockets might have had a draft pick before Giannis back in the 2013 NBA draft. They did not. They did not have a pick before Giannis went to Milwaukee at 15. BK, what would be yours? You get one redo in Houston sports draft history. What would it be?
Tough one. I heard y'all's suggestions. I heard a couple of listener suggestions as well. One that I don't think anyone's brought up. Go back to the 2009 MLB draft. Astros had the 21st pick. They took a guy by the name of Giovanni Miller.
Damn, you weren't listening very good.
You weren't listening very carefully, sir.
Sorry. That must have been when I was walking in.
Sure it was.
Can't listen all the time. All right. Well,
that was mine. That was mine.
Sorry.
Baseball's a hard one, though, because you could literally find almost anybody. Like, how many great Major League Baseball players were not drafted
in the
first round?
It's like the Brady syndrome, right? As rare as it is in the NFL to get a guy drafted where Brady was to do what he did. In baseball, it's not unheard of to have a guy like Altuve, who was thought to be a little kid that was never supposed to even get a tryout, that turns out to be an all-star.
Wait, who did you want instead of Giovanni Miller?
Mike Trout.
See, our answers aren't the same. Kyle Gibson went one pick later. He would have been a nice pitcher for this team.
Yeah, could have helped him out. Yeah. Would have been a whole lot of help.
I think I'd have taken Trout in that scenario.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I think he might have been okay.
Yeah. I hear that Trout kid turns out to be
pretty
good.
Not bad.
See, Brady was one that came to mind, and then I was like, wait a second. Texans weren't even around then. Because Brady went
I'm not saying specifically Brady, though, but you can find in the baseball draft guys that go late that turn out to be great.
Yeah, baseball ones are tough. Like, I did hear y'all bring up the Phil Nevin, Derek Jeter one. I mean, that's an obvious one that Astros fans have talked about forever. But Like, it's not like the Astros were the only team that passed up on Derek Jeter. He didn't go number two overall after the Astros went one overall. So with baseball and look, with some other sports, sometimes it's tough. Like, you're not the only team that passed
Chris Bryant over Appel would have been interesting because he would have given you the instant third baseman or infielder that would have complemented.
Power, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at the Astros' golden age, like, if we talk about this, they really haven't had a huge slugger until Yordan Alvarez.
Right.
Like, the biggest power guy for the Astros was George Springer. He was your leadoff man. It was Jose Altuve, and it's Jose Altuve. Like, the first real, like, Bregman hit 41 home runs. I think we all look at that as a fluke now. That was, like, obviously his peak year in terms of home runs.
After Baggy, like, they wanted Carlos to be that guy, and Carlos Lee wasn't that guy.
Oh, no. I mean, Carlos had some 30-homer, 100 RBI teams, years on really bad teams. Like, Yordan is the first slugger we've really seen since, like, Berkman. Like, Berkman, Bagwell. Yep. But with this golden era, Yordan, I think, really 45, 50 home run type. First true slugger. Somebody said Aaron Donald over Jadeveon Clowney. Aggie Joe said that. That's a good
one. That's a really good one.
Because Clowney wasn't bad. Like, would you call Clowney a bust?
No, because he's still playing and when healthy. The biggest thing was you didn't know that, like, football was not going to be his first love, right? He wasn't going to be a guy dedicated to the game. And that's why when Lance starts bringing this up more and more in talent evaluation, it makes sense. Do they love the game? Mm. And that means not just on Sundays, but the weight room. JJ used to criticize him on the weight room and things and his inability to want to work. I mean, that's something that goes into talent evaluation these days that never used to. It. See, you know, he made his entire career off of one play against South Carolina in a bowl game when he blew up the backfield and knocked the guy's helmet off and knocked him on his ass.
Against Michigan.
Or, I'm sorry, against Michigan for South Carolina, right. And suddenly it was, this dude is a beast. He is a once-in-a-lifetimer, and he really wasn't.
Yeah. He was a good pro. I wouldn't call him a bust.
I don't think
you call him a bust. He's serviceable. He's a little better than serviceable.
Yeah, you want more from a number one overall pick, but there have been plenty of number one overall picks who have given you a lot less than Jadeveon Clowney. So, look, athleticism is great. It can get you to the league. It can't get you to the Hall of Fame.
Right.
At some point, you got to put in the work that's going to take you to the next level. Some guys just aren't quite willing to do that.
I'm pretty happy for Jadeveon, though. I'm really happy that he was able to find his one true love in NFL free agency.
With Deshaun?
And to team up with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, that was...
Will Fuller's on line one trying to get in on that.
It's a good thing he signed a 2-year deal.
Does he not have
the
internet?
Not a 1-year. 2-year
Will
deal,
Fuller
though.
Does not have a deal yet.
Yeah, well, you're talking about Will Fuller?
Yeah.
I can't believe he's not in Cleveland yet.
Or Green Bay.
Or Green Bay.
Because Matt LaFleur coached him at Notre Dame.
He'd be good with Rodgers. Get a deep threat.
Well, they need somebody. They need another veteran receiver. I don't know who the hell that is, and I don't want Will Fuller, but I think he's still going to be sought after before camp starts for somebody.
OBJ?
Yeah, but they're going to have to wait, but right. I think they'd still like him. It's just that's the same knee. I don't, on the tundra, I don't know how the footing's going to be.
That's fair. Yeah, I don't think the Packers are worried about the first 8 weeks of the season, though, right?
Yeah.
They need to get over the hump in January. Maybe OBJ helps, but who knows what that knee's going to look like.
I like Will Fuller as a player when he's healthy.
I mean, think about it, though, Jeremy. Before it was injuries, it was his hands. Like, he would get wide open behind the defense, and he had a couple of really struggling first couple of years with his hands.
Yeah.
Then once he found his hands, he couldn't stay on the field.
Whenever he was with Deshaun, though, I mean, he put up Pro Bowl numbers. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what Cleveland's waiting for, if I'm being completely honest. That's a perfect fit. Maybe they're waiting for the suspension to figure out if he'll be playing with Deshaun Watson this year. Should the Rockets continue to embrace the suck after this draft? Tillman Fertitta talking about how they're looking more at the forest than the tree. They want to improve next year, but they're looking at the window 3-5 years down the road. Should the Rockets continue to embrace the suck?
I mean, I don't think so. Look, I think it all depends on how next season starts, right? Like, if it's obvious that they're going to be in the mix for one of the worst records in the NBA, then maybe they should further embrace the suck. But, man, I think they should be trying to get into that play-in conversation. I mean, the Spurs were the 10th seed.
This next coming season.
Look, I don't think they will be, but I want them to be on the graphics, on the in-the-hunt graphics.
But they only have their own pick for one more season.
Right. Like, I mean, the Spurs were, 10 games under 500? And they made it? 12 games under 500? I don't have it in front of
me. So you're looking at probably like 35, 40-ish wins. I mean, 40 and 42, you're in the hunt.
Yeah, the Spurs were not there. The Spurs were closer to 35. So it's like, all right, like, look, that's a 15-win improvement for this year. That might be a little bit unrealistic, but I want to start creeping closer and closer to that conversation than where they've been in the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I think when I look at – we made fun of Jalen Green the other day for saying he wanted to win 25 games. Like,
I don't think it makes I just don't think it makes sense for next season. I think that we said, taking a page out of the Nick Caserio quote, that we shouldn't be looking at wins and losses for this team this year because you need one more draft with one more high draft pick to add to this team before Daryl has given away the rest of them and you need to kind of look into free agency and start bringing in those veterans and really bringing this team together.
I think BK's right, though. I mean, the Spurs, 33 wins. No, think about this. I don't want them to make it. I want them to be a lottery team. But how many wins do you think the Rockets have next year? I think they'll flirt with 30.
25 to 30, I would say.
I think they'll flirt with 30. And if they're flirting with 30,
but that would Jeremy, been... also consider how good the Western Conference is, right? It's even gotten better. No, it's even gotten better. Because now New Orleans, if Zion plays and CJ McCollum for a full year and having Brandon Ingram and having a good nucleus of young players, they're going to be better. You got to believe the Lakers are going to be better, though they're not going to be a top four team.
You probably need to get to feel
Clippers
safe.
Clippers are going to be better.
To feel safe, you probably need to get 40 wins to be a top 10 team. But if you do have an anomaly and you have injuries and the 10th seed has 33 wins, I think BK's right. I think the Rocket, again, I don't want them to be in the 10th spot. I'd rather them be in the lottery.
I don't see it.
I think they would be on the graphic. They would be very much in like the
I just
hunt.
Don't see it for next season. I don't think there's enough there to go against the teams that are truly going to be better in the West.
Memphis is the timeline I look at. 34 wins in Ja's first year, then 38. They were in the play-in team, and then obviously they were
Minnesota's better again, and they proved it. They got a little bit extra in there under their belt now, too. You think about all those teams added to the teams that made the playoffs this year, with the teams that made, and even in Utah where you don't know, but there's too much talent there.
What's coming up on the Wheelhouse?
We'll do what y'all did. For 4 hours instead of three.
Well, you're going to do at least four more segments.
We'll be giving a quick four-minute pregame for the Astros and then talking about
You'll be giving
game.
Updates on the Astros throughout when they start playing?
Absolutely. We'll be doing that. Talking more about Chet Holmgren. Heard y'all talking about him and a little bit of Deshaun Watson conversation and evidence that the Texans are in the clear.
They're in the clear. They're not going to be held liable for facilitating
Barry Bonds
Deshaun's
is on line one for the clear.
Disgusting pervert behavior.
Where's his neck?
In the locker.
Ah, yes.
Ask McNamee. All right, it's going to do it for us. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.